Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel, in stock now. Rotoflex by Blunston. Stability meets the freedom to move. Welcome to the Summer Run Home with your hosts, The Professor, James Rochford and Andrew Barney Barnett.
Yes, it is a thankful Thursday on the Summer Run Home for The Professor and Barney, and it is a massive thank you to our sponsors, Hyundai and Blunstone. If you did miss the first hour, then there is the podcast where you can catch up on it. You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or where all good podcasts are downloaded in that first hour. Well, Barney has found a 55-year-old professional footballer, King Kazai.
Kazu. He's a Japanese footballer who is he's just been loaned out to a Portuguese side from Yokohama FC, and he started his career back in 1986, Professor.
Pretty amazing. How many games has he actually played, Barney?
I'd have to do some maths here. Yokohama FC, he's played 278 since 2005. So he's
toss up a number. No one's looking it up.
Played 41 for Kyoto Purple
Sanga. Let's not do the maths on air. Toss up a number.
Kyoto Purple Sanga.
All right, fantastic. Anyway, we're coming up on the show.
Another good club name, Kyoto Purple Sanga. I had a Purple Sanga one year after the Christmas holidays. I'd left the sandwich in my bag and it went completely purple.
Sangas. Yeah. Now, later on in the show, we'll be chatting to former Parramatta Eel enforcer and NRL Nation caller Timmy Manor. That's exciting.
Retired too young.
He did. Way too young. Shawnee Omorod, I think it's our last cross to Shawnee from Sportsbet on the summer run.
Shawnee taking an early one, is he?
Yeah,
he
is.
Not coming in on Friday.
Nah, mate, he's probably got staffies or something on a Friday. You know what he's like. Yeah. And Barney, we have a text message there that might nicely segue into...
Rooster Man has said, Barney, can we get some hockey news updates? Don't listen to the professor, which is, you know what? You're right on both counts there, Rooster Man. We will get some hockey news updates because, Trent Copeland, former Australian Test cricketer and New South Wales Blue and now Channel 7 cricket commentator is going to be joining us. And he is, a very, very good hockey player.
But that's not why we're talking to him. We're not talking to him about hockey.
We'll obviously mention the cricket. It's going to mostly hockey chat.
Briefly. While we're on the cricket, it's time now to welcome our first special guest to Thankful Thursday. It is Lachlan McCurdy, who is a writer for Code Sports. Are you there, Lachlan?
I am, boys. Good to be with you.
What are you thankful for on this Thursday? Lachlan, anything?
I'm thankful for one last game of cricket in Sydney where it's not actually raining. I mean, it's a nice way to kind of feel like we're properly ending summer, that there's no rain.
Yeah, it is a beautiful, beautiful afternoon, shaping up for a beautiful evening there at the SCG. Before we get to that, though, Lachlan, what are your thoughts on hockey?
Mate, we're not... Lachlan, you don't need to answer that.
Oh, I'm happy to talk about hockey. We can do a pivot. We can talk about the Kookaburras, the World Cup, anything you want.
You're one of the good ones.
Can you flush this guy, please, mate? No, listen, Lachlan, we're not here to talk to you about hockey. The Challenger is on tonight between the Sydney Sixers and the Brisbane Heat. From the SCG, obviously quite a few changes in lineups. It's always a turning pitch. Brisbane flew down yesterday, all these things. So based on all of that, who is going to win? Who should people bet on?
Oh, I would never tell people where exactly to put their money.
Of course.
I think the Sixers have a very good chance of getting this game over the line. They haven't lost a game at the SCG this season. Obviously, the Heat have had those Aussie players in Renshaw, Khawaja, Labuschagne there, but now they're off to India, so it's a weaker Heat squad than what we saw the last couple of weeks. But again, the Heat are the one team the Sixers haven't beaten this season, so there's a few interesting form lines going into this one, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've tended to notice this year the form, and we've talked about this on the show, the form tends to go in waves in the BBL. Like teams seem to win a few in a row and then lose a few in a row, then win a few in a row. Should that be a worry for Sixers fans, given that the Heat are obviously in their a little bit of a winning streak?
They're on a heater.
They're on a heater, as they like to say.
You can use that, Lachlan.
And then obviously the Sixers, they obviously lost to a very, very good Scorchers side, but they didn't really look like anything was clicking for them on Saturday night. How much should we read into that?
Look, I think there is a bit of that sense that momentum is really important in T20 cricket, especially in a competition like this where you don't have a lot of time to kind of reflect on that result. You've got to move straight on to the next one, especially with this knockout cricket. So that they put a lot of effort into that Scorchers game. The chatting to Sean Abbott yesterday, he was kind of saying, when we had them 3 for 20, we kind of almost thought it was done. And because they switched off mentally, the Scorchers are too good a side to let them get away with that. And then they have to kind of flick that switch and go, okay, now we've got to come back home, and if we get through this game, go back to Perth. So there's a lot of things playing in the Sixers' mind ahead of this match, and you've got to be careful not to start thinking forward of, if we get to the final, we've got to go back to Perth. That the Brisbane Heat have proved that they're no easy beats this year, and even without sort of the likes of Khwaja and Labuschagne and those guys, that they can post big totals. So it's going to be an interesting result tonight, that's for sure.
Are you heading out to the game, Lachlan? Are you heading to the SCG?
Yeah, I'll be heading there. I will be one who doesn't have to worry about going back to school or anything like that tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be a smaller crowd as a result. But, yeah, I think I'll be one of a smaller crowd than the last we saw there, that's for sure.
Now, are you working or is it for fun? Are you able to have a couple of ales and relax, or have you got to write some articles? What do you got to do?
Yeah, I'll be working. I'll be heading up into the nice press box up at the SCG, some beautiful facilities up there. So it's definitely my favourite ground to watch cricket in Australia.
All right.
Mate, now we've heard about how the Sydney pitch is can turn a bit, takes a good bit of spin, and how impactful the spinners have been. But Sean Abbott has been absolutely on fire at the back end of this BBL series for the Sixers. Mate, how important is he going to be tonight?
Yeah, he's really vital. We obviously saw in that final against the Scorchers on Saturday, he took 3 wickets, and if it wasn't for him, the Scorchers probably would have got it done a lot easier than they did. So he's been fantastic, and he had kind of admitted himself he had a really slow start to the season. He was disappointed with his first few games and the way he bowled, so he kind of made a concerted effort to really improve and find that form that saw him in Australian teams and things like that over the last few years. So he's one of the most experienced BBL players that we've seen in the competition. He's the comp's leading wicket taker. So yeah, if the Sixers want to get the job done, he's going to be key for them on a pitch that, yeah, we don't really know what it's going to do. We haven't seen any cricket here for almost 2 weeks, so it could be a bit up and down, and that pace is going to play an important role.
Well, it's interesting because obviously the Heat have got a couple of great fast bowlers in Nessa and who's the young bloke that's burst onto the scene? I've lost
Spencer.
His name.
Yes. Spencer Johnson.
Now, will they have any impact at the SCG? Because I said this yesterday, that last time we saw the SCG pitch, the ball was sticking in it like it was porridge. So, I mean, sure, it would be a change of pace for them, but do you think they'll have any impact, these fast bowlers?
I think they'll definitely have some impact. I mean, you look at a few of the Sixers dismissals across the season, but obviously in the last couple of games, they've been ones where they've been a bit rushed for pace or kind of haven't felt comfortable out there. And especially someone like Spencer Johnson, who can kind of get that ball in short and really attack the ribs and things like that. That's going to unsettle some of the Sixers batters who, I mean, there's a few guys who, obviously, you've got Dan Hughes coming in for Steve Smith, but Josh Felipe and Curtis Patterson probably haven't had the most amazing tournaments that they would have wanted. So they'll be feeling the pressure going, okay, we need to step up in this game, especially without Steve Smith. So, yeah, it's almost more of that mindset battle of going, okay, they might get a few short ones and then using those variations of a slower ball, cutters, things like that, to kind of really unsettle the Sixers batters.
Now, looking forward past the end of the BBL season, we're talking about the test players that have taken off to India. Usman Khawaja, we've heard now, has flown out to India. His visa issues are sorted. Now, are you getting the trip over there to go report on it, or are you going to be riding on it from home, mate?
No, I'll be nice and comfortable watching it from home. The late nights, I'm looking forward to at home, on the couch at home. It means you can enjoy a few more things from home. Like you said, the ales at the cricket, you can do that at home as well. But no, I'll be keeping an eye on things from there.
It's close to the best place to watch Test cricket, as in India, for a time slot in Australia, because it's a 2:30 start, right? It's start of the day's play, yeah. Takes you into the evening.
You're not sitting
perfect
up all night, but you get that nice bit of late night cricket where you're watching it. Mate, what are you expecting to see out of the India series?
I think it's going to be really close. I think a lot of the Aussie guys have said that they feel like this is one of the best squads they have sent over there in recent tours. And I think I agree with them that you've got a really experienced batting lineup mixed with some really promising guys who we know what they can do, like Marnus, Travis Head, and Alex Carey. They haven't played over in India, but we're going to get to see how they go in this new service. But you've got guys like Steve Smith and Usman Khawaja who have had that experience over there. And then obviously the fast bowling attack, it's probably one of the best we've had since sort of 2004, going back to those sort of McGrath-Warne years. I mean, I think that search for the clear second spinner for Australia is going to be the real interesting test to see whether you go with Ashton Agar again, which I think they will for the first test, or whether you give a guy like Todd Murphy a chance and go, okay, we think you're the next big thing, so let's just give you a chance. So yeah, I think that'll be the big question for the Aussies, but I think it's going to be a good series because, I mean, we've got to want revenge from India. They've come here and won the last two series here, so we're going to want to do something similar over there.
That's right. And we just need that one draw to make it through to the Test Championship, right? That's all we... I mean, we want to win, but just to get that game later in the year against the Indians. So that's exciting. Hey, Lachlan, we'll let you go, mate. Just before you go, who's your favourite old athlete in the world? We've been chatting that this afternoon. Have you got a favourite oldie?
I mean, the name escapes me. The equestrian, the Australian equestrian.
Hoy.
Andrew Hoy.
Hoy.
Hey, that's a good one. We'll add that to the list.
Andrew Hoy.
Well, from the town of Culcairn down there in the Riverina.
Is he?
Yeah, there's a big sign outside of Culcairn. They don't have much else going on.
There you go. All right. Hey, Lachlan, thanks for chatting this afternoon, mate.
Anytime, guys.
Have fun this afternoon at the cricket. Not a bad gig there for old Lachlan, heading out to the cricket.
It would be the perfect gig if you didn't have to sit and write an article at the end of it.
Yeah. You know what I would do? I would write it before and just leave gaps for the names. And then impact player.
The blank started strong.
Yep.
But then
put the team in. Yeah. Finished stronger.
Yes.
Yeah. So-and-so took... for so-and-so runs.
How do I embed a video?
Yeah, that's highlights. Right. Yeah. And then you go in there and you rip in. Because I think it's full strength beer in the media tent. Because some of the stuff these guys write, they must be.
I
mean, is there spirits?
Yeah.
Well, I know for some of the NRL matches based on the stuff they write, definitely. I think it's a free bar, right? It's just...
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, but I think, you know how some, like if you get done drink driving and you got to blow into the ignition in your car to get it to start, and it won't start if you've got, it's similar with the rugby league where if you don't have six schooners under your belt.
You can't write an article.
The computer won't start.
Yeah, right. No,
you
got to
blow into
sense.
It. And it's like, oh, yeah, you seem like you're good enough now.
Rip in.
Really, really give us what you think.
Hey, talking old athletes, I got a doozy for you.
Oh, yeah.
Gordie Howe.
Gordie Howe, the ice hockey player.
Ice hockey player played until the age, this is ice hockey, right? Probably the most physical sport, arguably.
Well, not just physical in terms of, you know, fast-paced and your physical fitness, but just you can be hit at any point, like bumped and sport.
Well, also he played in the age of the goons. Is that what they were called? The guys that used to go out
in
the ice?
He would have played pre-helmet too, wouldn't
he? Yeah, so 1946 to 1980, 26 seasons in the NHL, retired when he was 52.
Gordie Howe, did he play for Boston Bruins? Am I getting that wrong?
Yes. No.
No.
Detroit Red Wings. Yeah.
All right.
But that's a good one. Another great one, Lex Niederlof, professional cyclist. He's a Dutchman.
Niederlof, a cyclist. What?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Well, most of them are needle on. Isn't that the tradition? With the cyclists?
His name is... I'm not...
Niederlof.
There you go. Retired in 2018. He was 52 years. I wonder how he...
His blood was 26.
Oh, geez. Very good. This is a great topic. Baseball, Satchel Paige.
Hey,
played Satchel. Satchel, named after a bag you wear over your shoulder, I guess. Oh, he's Leroy Robert Satchel Paige.
His nickname was the man bag.
The European carry-all, I think they used to call him. 59 years, 350 days.
Well,
retired in 1966. MLB, baseball. Oh, what he used to do?
He was a pitcher. Yeah, so the pitcher, that's a... they treat them like thoroughbreds, the pitchers in the MLB. I'm not sure in those days.
What, they put them out?
Put them out to stud.
Just to make little.
They'll pitch every sort of. Now I'm worried Jeremy's still.
No, he's gone. No, I think it's.
He's a baseball.
It's every four games or something.
So they'll
but they play four games in 4 days.
Yeah.
Because in a month, they play 162 games in a year of baseball. And they have, in a month, they'll have like 1 or 2 days off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit silly.
What is it? 164 games, is it?
162, I think.
62.
And that's what you were pushing for in the NRL, right?
Yes.
Each team to play 162 well, games.
Why not? Bring back the midweek games. I mean, why? How good would it be just to get home and be like, oh, Wednesday night football, how good?
Hope it's as good as Tuesday night's game.
Yeah.
That was a good one with the same two teams. here we go. Let's keep going. Oh, this is a doozy. Hanakazi Daisaku.
Ooh.
Take a guess. Obviously so a Japanese man. Bacon. What sport? 51 years. Is still active. Still going now.
Still going. 51.
Started in 1986.
Tell me it's sumo.
It is sumo wrestling.
Get out of town.
No, 51 years, he's still wrestling.
How's your knees after?
Well, he's wearing knee braces in the actual picture here.
Is he?
Yeah. And, ooh, that's right up his clacker. Yeah. Go on and have a look at
that's the way they do that.
Hanakazi Daisuku. All right, we're going to be chatting some more old athletes. Just a reminder, coming up, we're going to be chatting to your old mate, Trent Copeland.
Yes, we got a few texts coming in.
Let's do the text quickly.
0457 736 736. Heather McKay retired from professional squash at 40, being undefeated for over 20 years.
Dooley.
Wow. Once retired, she played Masters squash, winning 45s twice, the under 45s twice, and the under 50s twice. That's from Brendan. Thank you, Brendan.
Ian Chappell, say no more, 79.
I'm not sure.
Sorry to burst your bubble, boys, but there's predicted thunderstorm tonight between 7 and 8 o'clock for Sydney.
Fair Sean. That's not Shawnee Omerod,
might be
is it?
Bloody Shawnee Omerod always trying to rain on our parade every time. What's the weather like in Brisbane, though, Barney, today?
So yesterday was beautiful, so today is
no,
perfect.
No, the day before was perfect. Oh, today's perfect.
Yeah, yeah, so it goes on and off, beautiful, perfect.
Australian Open, can't wait for it up there. It'll be bloody good. All right, Mark, hit that break button. Now, all you fans of the beautiful game, we are about to give you a Joga Bonito update. Barney,
yes.
Before we do, you've got a couple more old athletes there on the text line.
Yeah, we're talking old athletes. If you've got one, 0457 736 736 is the number to text. And these people have, Dave from Frankston has reminded us that Gordie Howe, who you said played ice hockey into his 50s.
Mm-hmm. 52.
He was who Bart Simpson pretended to set his teacher, Miss Krabappel, up on a date with.
That was like the original catfish.
It was.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Gordie Howe. Very well done. How about Ronnie O'Sullivan, says this person who didn't give us their name. They said 47 years old, current snooker world number one and world champion. Do we count snooker as
Yes, we do. Yes, we absolutely do. The best to ever do it. Ronnie, if we consider snooker a sport, which I, of course, do, Ronnie Antonio O'Sullivan is one of the best, is the best.
Where's Ronnie O'Sullivan from?
He's from England. But
and you still like him?
Yeah, unfortunately. And he's incredible. He plays left-handed half the time just for taking the mick.
You're joking. Yeah. Does he drink schooners while he plays?
No. He loves his running. Pints.
Mate, schooners. Come on.
Does he smoke darts?
Not since Embassy are no longer sponsoring the World Championships. No, I'm afraid not.
That's a shame.
Oh, wow.
He did a he had a 1:47 in 4 minutes 17.
You're joking.
4 minutes 17.
I don't know what any of that means.
I knew that you loved a Ronnie, Mark, but I didn't know it was Ronnie O'Sullivan. That is unbelievable. Matt from Park Ridge says, out of left field here, boys, but Ric Flair was like 60 when he retired.
Yeah. Nature boy.
Nature boy.
Can you give us a Ric Flair? Give us a whoo.
Whoo.
No. Come on. Can you give us a
whoo?
Like that.
Okay, I wasn't going to do that much. Yeah.
That's Ric Flair.
Yeah.
God, he was good.
The nature old man by the end of it.
Yeah. He's still with us, though, isn't he? Yeah. I'm always nervous when I do this.
Yeah,
he is just.
He's with us?
Ric Flair, give me. He's looking. Yeah, he's still blonde somehow. That's amazing.
That Scandinavian roots.
Looks perfectly natural, by
Flair
the way.
Flair is Swedish, the surname. Flair. There's lots of Flairs.
There's an umlaut over there.
Yeah.
Wikipedia has him still active, 1972 to present.
Yeah, he was wrestling last year, I believe. You're joking. Yeah, he does the wrestling. Oh, yeah, because
it's like The Rock coming back.
Comes up and slaps someone.
The WWE.
Yeah.
Hey, it's time for our Joga Bonanno update. Can we get some music? Can we get a little bit of Waka Waka? Here we go. All right. This is thanks to Optus Sport. Catch La Liga. I know that's your favourite La Liga, isn't it, Barney? And the Premier League only on Optus Sport.
Are they going to start... Hopefully Optus Sports start showing a bit of Portugal League 2 too, so I can see...
I'm pretty sure they do.
See the King.
Yep.
King Kazu go around.
They do. In the EFL Cup, my favourite of the Cups. Do you want to do this one, Barney?
Yeah, Manchester untied, beat Nottingham Forest.
Good 2-0. Win. Good win for the untied.
5-0 on aggregate. And they'll play Newcastle. In the final.
Is that right, Mark? Has he got that one right?
Yeah, he's got that one right there. Yeah. Newcastle United versus Manchester United.
In the final of the EFL Cup.
Carabao Cup.
Okay. Who's favourites there, mate?
You probably say... I'll keep... United. Because they're both United.
Hey! Because it's Newcastle United.
Yes.
Hey, all right.
But you knew that, of course.
Who would you prefer to see win there, Mark?
Oh, obviously. Newcastle United. No one likes Manchester United.
Who's your EPL team?
Don't have one. I'm Scottish.
Oh,
sorry. That was visceral that came out.
Well, and you stood up there. You get asked a lot. Quite angry.
I get asked a lot.
I don't know where he got the knife from.
But he's Scottish.
Is that a skin do?
Yes, it's a skin do.
It's a skin do.
Well, Danny knows a skin do.
Aye. Chelsea spent $500 million this transfer season and can't even register all of them.
Yeah, so they spent $500 million Australian dollars on players. And they've got the Champions League coming up.
Yeah.
And they can only register 3 of those players. So even though they bought like 5 or 6, only 3 new ones can actually play in the Champions League.
Who's the biggest name?
Of spares in the pantry.
Mudryk. He's 95 million from Shakhtar Donetsk. The big one, the biggest transfer of any player in British football, Enzo Fernandez. £104 million.
Where's he come from?
He's come from Benfica, who he signed for Benfica for $8 million in the summer. And now...
What's his...
he's had a good year.
What's his national team?
Argentina, so he was the player of the World Cup. So he had a great World Cup, and that's what rose him to.
I thought there was only one person that played for Argentina.
Angel Di Maria. Yeah. Julian Alvarez, of course.
The goalie. Who was the goalie with that had a bit of fun with the trophy?
The like gyrating with the trophy.
Oh, Martinez. Then
carried the baby Mbappe.
Proper Lucy in it.
Yeah, no, Messi. Okay, the Matildas squad has been announced. Mark, are there any...
How many hundreds of millions... in there, Mark?
Hundreds of millions, lots of hundreds of millions in there.
Any surprise omissions or any surprise inclusions?
Not surprised, but Western Sydney Wanderers defender Claire Hunt, got to be careful, is in the squad for the first time. They're playing 3 games in February. Gosford, Sydney and Newcastle. They've got 3 warm-ups for the World Cup.
Fantastic. Building up to that World Cup, which is going to be epic. Hey, Mark, I want an SPL update.
Talk to me.
Yeah. Who's on top?
Who's on top? Celtic are still on top. Ange Postecoglou's Celtic.
And not just him, mate. Harry Kewell, he's there making a difference.
Of course.
And Harry Moy, Kewell. Hey?
Aaron Moy. Aaron Moy's had one of the best starts of the season of any player. He's probably in Team of the Year. There we are from Lundy, Celtic FC, Hoops Till I Die. No one cares, Lundy.
Now, there is a big Japanese contingent now at the Hoops because of Ange Postecoglou's connection to the J-League.
Yeah. Kyogo Furuhashi, Daisen Maeda.
Lots of them.
Hatate.
Do you think he'll get King Kazu there?
Oh, I'd love to see King Kazu.
That would be great.
Would Kazu be older?
Than Ange? Ooh, maybe.
They'd be similar age, wouldn't they? They'd have a lot in common. They'd probably hang out.
Yeah, they could.
Ange Postecoglou, 57.
Ange is only a year older.
And where are the Rangers? Are they second?
The fact you said the Rangers is going to please a lot of Celtic fans there. Rangers are second. They are, quite a few points behind. 9 points behind.
And then what? Hibs? Hearts?
Hearts, St. Mirren, Livy, Hibs.
Where's Partick Thistle?
Partick Thistle are in the division below. They're in the championship.
Losers.
But your team, Dundee United,
where are we?
Bottom of the table.
Now, all you fans of the beautiful game, we are about to give you a Joga Bonanno update. Barney, but before we do, you've got a couple more old athletes there on the text line.
Yeah, we're talking old athletes. If you've got one, 0457 736 736 is the number to text. And these people have, Dave from Frankston has reminded us that Gordie Howe, who you said played ice hockey into his 50s.
Mm-hmm. 52.
He was who Bart Simpson pretended to set his teacher, Miss Krabappel, up on a date with.
That was like the original catfish.
It was.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Gordie Howe. Very well done. How about Ronnie O'Sullivan? Says this person who didn't give us their name. They said 47 years old, current snooker world number one and world champion. Do we count snooker as...
Yes, we do. Yes, we absolutely do. The best to ever do it. Ronnie, if we consider snooker a sport, which I of course do, Ronnie Antonio O'Sullivan is one of the best, is the best.
Where's Ronnie O'Sullivan from?
He's from England. But
and you still like him?
Yeah, unfortunately. And he's incredible. He plays left-handed half the time just for taking the mick.
You're joking. Yeah. Does he drink schooners while he plays?
No. He loves his running.
Pints. Yeah. Schooners. Come on.
Does he smoke darts?
Not since Embassy are no longer sponsoring the World Championships. No, I'm afraid not.
That's a shame.
Oh, wow.
He had a 1:47 in 4 minutes 17.
You're joking.
4 minutes 17.
I don't know what any of that means. Okay.
I knew that you loved a Ronnie, Mark, but I didn't know it was Ronnie O'Sullivan. That is unbelievable. Matt from Park Ridge says, out of left field here, boys, but Ric Flair was like 60 when he retired. Yeah.
Nature boy.
Can
you give us a Ric Flair? Give us a woo.
Woo.
No. Come on. Can you give us a woo? Like that.
Okay, I wasn't going to do that much. Yeah.
That's Ric Flair.
Yeah.
God, he was good.
The nature old man by the end of it.
Yeah. He's still with us, though, isn't he? Yeah. I'm always nervous when I do this.
Yeah,
he always nervous. He's
with us.
Ric Flair, yeah, let me. He's looking. Yep, he's still blonde somehow. That's amazing.
And that Scandinavian roots.
Looks perfectly natural, by the way.
Flair is Swedish, the surname. Flair. There's lots of flares.
There's an umlaut over the eye.
Yeah.
This Wikipedia has him still active, 1972 to present.
Yeah, he was wrestling last year, I believe.
You're joking.
Yeah, he does the wrestling.
Oh, because it's like The Rock coming
comes
back.
Comes up and slaps someone.
The WWE.
Yeah.
Hey, it's time for our Joga Bonanno update. Can we get some music? Can we get a little bit of Waka Waka? Africa. Here we go. All right. This is thanks to Optus Sport. Catch La Liga. I know that's your favourite La Liga, isn't it, Barney? And the Premier League only on Optus Sport.
Are they going to start... Hopefully Optus Sport start showing a bit of Portugal League too, so I can see...
They do. I'm pretty sure they do.
See the King.
Yep.
King Kazu go around.
They do. In the EFL Cup, my favourite of the Cups. Do you want to do this one, Barney?
Yeah, Manchester Untied beat Nottingham Forest.
Good
2-0.
Win. Good win for the Untied.
5-0 on aggregate. And they'll play Newcastle in the final.
Is that right, Mark? Has he got that one right?
Yeah, he's got that one right there. Yeah. Newcastle United versus Manchester United.
In the final of the EFL Cup.
Carabao Cup.
Okay. Who's favourites there, mate?
You probably say I'll keep United. Because they're both United.
Hey! Because it's Newcastle United.
Yes.
Hey, all right.
But you knew that, of course.
Who would you prefer to see win there, Mark?
Oh, Newcastle Obviously. United. No one likes Manchester United.
Who's your EPL team, Mark?
Don't have one. I'm Scottish.
Oh,
sorry. That was visceral that came out.
Well,
there.
And you stood up there. You get asked a lot. Quite angry.
I get asked a lot.
I don't
lot.
Know where he got the knife from.
But if you got
that
away.
Is that a skin do?
Yes, it's a skin do.
It's a skin do.
Well, Danny knows a skin do.
Chelsea spent $500 million this transfer season and can't even register all of them.
Yeah, so they spent $500 million Australian dollars on players and they've got the Champions League coming up.
Yeah.
And they can only register 3 of those players. So even though they bought like 5 or 6, only 3 new ones can actually play in the Champions League.
Who's the biggest
name?
Couple
of spares in the pantry.
Mudryk, he's $95 million from Shakhtar Donetsk. The big one, the biggest transfer of any player in British football, Enzo Fernandez. £104 million.
Where's he come from?
He's come from Benfica, who he signed for Benfica for $8 million in the summer. And now...
What's his...
he's had a good year.
What's his national team?
Argentina. So he was the player of the World Cup. So he had a great World Cup, and that's what rose him to.
I thought there was only one person that played for Argentina.
Angel Di Maria. Yeah. Julian Alvarez, of course. Yeah.
The goalie. Who was the goalie with that had a bit of fun with the trophy?
The light gyrating with the trophy.
Oh, Martinez. Yeah.
Carried the baby Mbappe.
Proper Lucy in it.
Yeah, no, Messi. Okay, the Matildas squad has been announced. Mark, are there any...
How many hundreds of millions in there, Mark?
Hundreds of millions, lots of hundreds of millions in there.
Any surprise omissions or any surprise inclusions?
Not surprised, but Western Sydney Wanderers defender Claire Hunt. Got to be careful, is in the squad for the first time. They're playing 3 games in February. Gosford, Sydney and Newcastle. They've got three warm-ups for the World Cup.
Fantastic. So building up to that World Cup, which is going to be epic. Hey, Mark, I want an SPL update.
Talk to me.
Yeah. Who's on top?
Who's on top? Celtic are still on top. Ange Postecoglou's Celtic.
And not just him, mate. Harry Kewell, he's there making a difference.
Of course.
And Harry Moy, hey?
Aaron Moy. Aaron Moy's had one of the best starts of the season of any player. Probably in team of the year this year. There we are from Lundy, Celtic FC, Hoops Till I Die. No one cares, Lundy.
Now, there is a big Japanese contingent now at the Hoops because of Ange Postecoglou's connection to the J-League.
Yeah. Kyogo Furuhashi, Daisen Maeda.
Lots of them.
Hatate.
Do you think he'll get King Kazu there?
Oh, I'd love to see King Kazu.
Be? That would be great.
Would he? Yeah. Would Kazu be older?
Than Ange? Ooh, maybe.
They'd be similar age, wouldn't they? They'd have a lot in common. They'd probably hang out.
Yeah, they could.
Ange Postecoglou, 57.
Ange is only a year older.
And where are the Rangers? Are they second?
The fact that you said the Rangers is going to please a lot of Celtic fans there. Rangers are second. They are, quite a few points behind. 9 points behind.
And then what? Hibs, Hearts?
Hearts, St. Mirren, Livy, Hibs.
Where's Partick Thistle?
Partick Thistle are in the division below. They're in the championship.
Losers.
But your team, Dundee United.
My team, Dundee United, where are we?
Bottom of the table.
Pisser.
A run home. This is a thankful Thursday, and we're thanking our sponsors Hyundai and Blunston for this thankful Thursday. Professor, we've been having a great time. If anyone's missed any of the content so far, catch up on the podcast, download at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And we've been asking people who their favourite old athletes are on the back of Stephen O'Keefe going around for another year and then King Kazu going to his 15th club in a career that's lasted since 1986. But right now it's time to chat some more BBL. And on the line we have Channel 7 commentator Trent Copeland. G'day, Trent. How are you, mate?
Going well. How are you, boys?
Very well, thanks, Trent. Very, very well. Now, are you on your way to the BBL? Are you in your car making your way to the SCG?
I am, yes, in the aircon, escaping the heat. It's going to be a blistering night, but hopefully it's going to be a good game of cricket as well. I think the Sixers have to be favourites at this point, given that there's going to be no Khawaja, no Labuschagne and no Renshaw, and also no Swepson for the Heat. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. Can't wait.
Mate, do you think the lack of Steve Smith is going to hold the Sixers back, though?
Well, I mean, if you had asked me about 3 weeks ago, I would have said no. On the back of, being dropped out of the T20 World Cup team, largely having not a huge amount of impact in the BBL, probably mostly because of scheduling, but even in his own right, not being maybe up to standard. But what about his last couple of games? I mean, he's borderline the player of the tournament in four matches. Quite remarkable what he's done. So, yes, I think now we're going to need to see the likes of Philippi stand up, who's been a bit, in indifferent form this BBL. And in the absence of someone like James Vince, who they can normally rely on in big tournaments.
And I guess the other big Sixers news, Trent, is that old man Socky is going to go around for another year. Do you think that'll fill the boys with confidence today as they run out?
Yeah, SEN zone, eh?
That's right.
He's doing pretty well. Doing pretty well for himself, old Sock. I've seen his mug on the telly a bit as well. He's a wily old fox. And you know who backs him in more than anyone is Moses Enriquez, the skipper of the Sydney Sixers. Just trusts him, backs him in all scenarios. Whether it's the power play where he does a great job or if he has to bowl last over the innings, he knows he can trust him and it's such a well-oiled machine. Hopefully those calves of his can stick together for another year. But I love Socky. He's a good man.
Mate, you would have played a bit of cricket with Socky over the years for New South Wales, wouldn't you? What is he like as a teammate?
Literally, our careers have basically gone neck and neck the entire way. So, yeah, you're talking almost 15 years we've played in New South Wales or otherwise together. He's a ripper. I mean, there's no one that attacks the contest more. Much like the Davey Warner, I guess, trajectory of how he attacks an opposition, how he gets about his business, Socky is like that. But then when you have a beer or you're in a team scenario, he's just around the boys having a good time. And much like I'm sure everyone here is over the SEN airwaves. He's a good, fun lad and tells a lot of stories. Yeah, he's a ripper.
I'm pretty sure at the start of this grade season, he went down and played one grade game for Manly, took like 4 for 10 off about 3 overs, and then just left for the afternoon. Couldn't be asked.
And bullies guys in the process, no doubt. He's probably come in and bowl the perfect left arm offie to a 18-year-old playing his first grade game and tell him offie pops.
Now, mate, it has been a cracking BBL season, and yeah, you guys at Seven have done a great job covering it. Mate, the finals now being, we're obviously just past school holiday season. Are you expecting that it's going to be a bit diminished, the crowd tonight?
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. I mean, I was out at the showgrounds for the Thunders game to kick off the final series. And on the back of only a couple of days' notice, because the table went right down to the wire, it was really difficult to understand who was going to play where, who was hosting the finals. But what I do know is the Sixers faithful do love this team, and they will get out there and get out there in force. Plus, there's plenty of parochial Queenslanders that still reside in Sydney as well. So I'm pretty confident in that. But what a result it's been to see the tournament reinvigorated. I'm sure you guys agree.
Oh, absolutely.
Every night. In my mind, when I think about the Big Bash at its best, it's like a box office movie every night. And you don't know what's going to happen or who's going to win. It's been like that this year for numerous reasons. But, yeah, it's been fantastic. And I'm very lucky to sit in one of the best seats in the house for Seven. So, more of it.
Yeah, mate, I'm hoping that the crowd do get out tonight because it has been a cracking season, so hopefully it finishes in style now. And you know what? It is a Thursday, and it's a thankful Thursday here, but we also have Phone It In Friday, so I hope everyone takes that approach tonight, gets out, goes to the game, and then just phones whatever they've got to do tomorrow in. Mate, looking forward past tonight's game, though, to the Scorchers on Saturday night, whichever one of these teams makes it. Do either of them really have a chance of taking on the Scorchers at home? They just look unbeatable over there, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. And I must say, I didn't think that they would. In the absence of a few of their overseas players and certainly their intentions of who they were going to have as their full-time overseas, things probably didn't work out for them. But it just goes to show with the Sixers and the Scorchers, really, 12 years of BBL, inevitably they find themselves in the big games and on the top of the table. It's not by accident. So, look, I think the Sixers can get over there, and provided they get through tonight's match, I think they can beat the Scorchers. The Heat, without their international superstars, I'm not sure whether they can do that. But, you know, anyone, in T20, you can't beat anyone. That's why we all love it so much. And, yeah, look, I can't wait to see what happens tonight, firstly, but that grand final is going to be epic because a full week to sell that place out. And when it's packed, like we saw in the AFL grand final, it's unreal.
Yeah, and you can't hear yourself think. The crowd goes nuts. Hey, Trent, who are you on with tonight in the BBL? Who's your co-commentators?
We've got Ricky Ponting and Chris Green as experts, which Greeny will be great to have. Obviously played in the final series, an experienced T20 cricketer, and James Frazier as well with myself and Mel McLaughlin. So, yeah, you know when Mel and JB and Punter are involved, the big dogs are there, it's a big game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because obviously some of your stable mates, so the likes of Ricky Ponting and Justin Langer and, you know, Matt Hayden and stuff, like, do you just sit and hammer them for stories? Stories of when they were playing for Australia and... Yeah.
Are you insinuating that they're big dogs and I'm a nobody? Is that what you're getting at?
There's no insinuation going on. I'm saying it pretty bluntly.
How many tests have you played, Professor?
No. Hey, look, you know, I get a bit like that. I know when we were working at Fox and blokes would walk in like Adam Gilchrist, I would hammer him for stories. I'm assuming, do you do the same or do you try and be more of a colleague and try and act cool?
I'm a bit more of the cricket nuffy element. Yeah. I am a real cricket nuffy, and I obviously people see that with me on the big screen during the summer talking just the finer details of cricket. It's more that stuff that I delve into rather than the stories. But, look, I'm every bit a fan first and foremost, so I'm pinching myself every day that I get to work with these guys. And as you say, call them colleagues because, you know, Nathan Lyon and I debuted in the same test match and he's the GOAT and I'm right here in the car.
Mate, living the dream, Copes. Mate,
I'm sure it's a good car, Copes. It sounds great.
Hey, mate, just on the stuff you were doing on Seven, I saw you with the keeping gloves on doing a bit of an explanation, I think, in that last test. Now, am I right in thinking that you started your grade career as a keeper? Were you a keeper as a junior?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a wicketkeeper and opening or number three batter until I was 20. So, yeah, it was strange sort of turn of events. Gave up the keeping gloves around then, basically because in that day and age, the keeper in the grade above you, I was in third grade at the time when I first started. If you didn't have an injury or someone, Nathan Pillen, wasn't playing for New South Wales, I just wasn't playing the next grade. So basically, I gave up the gloves to have a dip at five batting spots rather than one keeping spot. And then things happened rather quickly from there.
And then you ended up bowling like seamers. Like, mate, what a career. You're annoyingly good at a lot of things, aren't you, Trent?
No, come on. It's one of those things where, I mean, I do impress upon many kids out there when I go to school visits or, you know, pathways under 19 stuff that guys only practice one skill. That no. You might think you're something right now, and it goes for corporate world as well. You might think that you're something right now, but don't ever write off the fact that you could be something else if you turn your mind to it, because I am the perfect example with zero talent that, you know, you can turn yourself into a bowler just, you know, purely by changing your mindset, training harder, and, you know, look where it takes you.
Yeah, I think that you still need a fair bit of talent that you've got, mate, because I know you are not just a cricketer. You're a very handy hockey player.
Oh, here we go.
You had a run down at St. George for a little while there when I was playing lower grades down there, and you just straight into the first grade side, whatever, until Cricket New South Wales stopped you. Mate, did you manage to catch any of the Hockey World Cup that's been going on?
No, I must say, I'm a bit disappointed the lack of coverage that it got, to be honest. And I mean, the hockey tragics, like yourself and myself, we all obviously keep our eyes on it, and we're certainly across it. But it was disappointing for the Aussies to go out in the semi again. They certainly have the team and the nous and the ability to score enough goals to win tournaments like that, but just haven't found themselves, you know, in winning situations with the gold medal around their neck enough, in my opinion. But yeah, I love hockey, and it's one of those things. I'm devastated that I wasn't able to play more of it. But if I'm being honest, mate, I was never any good. You know, first grade was unreal, but I vividly remember those days, and I used to have Brent Livermore, Jamie Dwyer playing for Gordon and the like, and just running rings around me in centre midfield there. So I think I made the right decision.
Trent, the good news for you, you're worried about a lack of coverage, is that there's one bloke that's giving it more coverage than anybody else, which is your idiot mate Barney on this show. He talks hockey nonstop. Anyway, hey, Trent, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck tonight with the coverage. We'll be watching on Channel 7. And I guess go the mighty Sixers.
Go the Sixers.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Cheers, lads. Have a good one.
Beauty. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Trent. You got your hockey question in there, mate. Are you happy?
Genuinely, he undersells his ability. Just, I remember when there was a season he sort of rocked back and I haven't played in a few years. And then all of a sudden you just look at him going, geez, you're good. Apparently he can hit a golf ball too, a couple of the blokes said. So just annoying. But lovely bloke.